Welcome to Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here, and we are coming to you on a victory Monday that feels pretty dang good,
yes,
especially
it does.
After last week. Just what a difference a week makes. We'd said that from the week before, going from the high to the low, and now we get to go from the low to the high. And, I mean, even just that kick, the little things in the NFL that change the fate of a team.
We also said here on our last show on Friday, I believe, when somebody asked a question of, like, how bad would the season be if we fell to 1-3? And, you know, I used the rational approach. You're going to be okay. You're still in it. But admitted that this felt like a huge game.
It did.
It felt like a huge game.
Mm-hmm. Especially on a short week like this.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not saying the players think this way. I think players and coaches are generally confident throughout a game.
Mm-hmm.
But as a spectator, that felt like one of those games where you're playing well, you're off to a good start, but you keep leaving points off the board. You know, you miss a field goal or an extra point, or you don't score from a first and goal at the one. And even though you feel like you've been playing much better than your opponent, you're not winning by very much. And how do those games – I mean, it's probably just I only remember the bad ones, but it feels like those games don't work out. You know what I'm saying? And this one almost didn't, but they were able to rally and pull it out at the end.
Yeah, that's so true. We know you probably have thoughts, comments, questions about the game that we just had yesterday, and then this is our only show before the Patriots game because of just the weird short week schedule. So – questions about the Giants game, questions about the Patriots game, all of it. This is the chance. So send those in using hashtag BucksLive. First, I mean, I think talking about this game, you have to start with the tight ends. I mean, this was just such an incredible display mm-hmm. of what I think a lot of Bucks fans have been hoping it would look like mm-hmm. and waiting for it to look like. What was it about this game that ended up catering so well to them?
Well, the scouting report would have suggested that the tight ends would have a shot against these guys. And that's four games now for the Giants. And in each of those four games, the primary tight end for the other team has scored a touchdown. And, you know, I actually looked that up for fantasy football reasons, but it's still good to know. And in this case, who's our primary tight end? I don't know if it's Cam Brady or O.J. Howard, but they both scored, so the note is still good. That's how it's supposed to work. That's the whole point of having O.J. Howard, drafting O.J. Howard, even when you already have Cam Brady. One, for the future, because you expect him to be a great tight end for a long time. But Cam Brady is still young, too, and you've got that tandem. That's how it's supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're supposed to stress the defense and have them not know who's going to go out or if either one of them are or if they both are. I have not had a chance to look at go back and look at a replay of O.J.'s touchdown. Have you?
Yes, because I was going to guess that we shot film session this morning, and that was one of the
okay,
plays
he did. Then this is going to be. I'm going to put you on the stage here because I'm guessing. Well, I mean, the way the play went, I think it was play action, and Jameis rolled out to the right, and he's certainly looking down that side of the field, and all of a sudden he throws to a wide open O.J. Howard. How did he get wide open over there?
So it's ironically. Cam Brate helped.
That's what I figured.
Right? And so that was what was pretty great about that. But they basically they made it look like they were handing off to Jaquizz, actually. Like, everything about the play was moving in the same direction. Everyone bid on that hardcore.
Okay.
And then you had guys running the complete opposite direction. I mean, everyone ended up just facing the wrong way,
mm-hmm.
looking at all the action over there. And everyone just did an incredible job of pulling not one, but usually two guys, a corner and a safety or a corner and a linebacker away from him, and mm-hmm. just somehow the numbers game worked out to where they were all occupied and he was just missed.
Did O.J. like delay at all? Did he do a block first and then release?
Not much. His release was pretty quick.
They just lost him, huh?
They just lost him in all the shuffle of everyone else going one direction, and they all went that direction. He just cut the other way.
But Cam Brate was in on the play as well.
He was probably going
to the right.
He went the opposite direction.
And Jameis does look to him a lot, as he mm-hmm. did in that game, and so it's not surprising they would be.
Yeah, it was an incredible play.
I'll tell you another thing. Both those guys had at least 60 yards, as well as Mike Evans and one other player. Oh, Adam Humphries.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is hard to believe. That's the first time in the entire history of this team that we've had four players with over 60 receiving yards in the same game.
Wow.
And it's not really all that common. That doesn't seem that strange to me, but I looked it up. This has only happened twice in the whole league this year. The Patriots did it once, ironically. That's not actually ironic, but whatever. But we've never had that before.
That's crazy.
And so that's how this is supposed to work. Remember, all offseason, you got DeSean Jackson, you got O.J. Howard, you got Chris Godwin. You're supposed to have – James is supposed to have so many weapons, and the defense isn't going to know who to cover.
Right.
I think we saw the first really good example of how that's supposed to work.
And
hopefully means we're going to see a lot of that.
Yeah, and continuing it, that this is not a one-time thing, and it's going to be huge moving forward to continue with that diversity in options for sure. You know, Jameis is always interesting to hear people talk about how, you know, he is a bit of that gunslinger – type, and we see how that can go really well sometimes and not as well others. And I feel like these last 2 weeks were just amazing examples of he knew he'd taken maybe a couple risks he might mm-hmm. have not taken that if he had to do over again in Minnesota, And then this game, he made things happen. He learned from those times, mm-hmm. didn't throw any picks this time, and still was able to scramble, be himself, make those plays happen. I feel like, did you see that you liked where he went week to week here?
Yeah, and I think it's probably more of a full career. That's what Coach always says, it's a full career progression. I mean, you're still going to have highs and lows. Even well-established veteran quarterbacks are still going to have up and down games. But yes, this is the version of Jameis that we want to see. And that's basically what Coach Cutter said after the game. He said, when Jameis Winston's playing like that, we're going to be hard to beat.
Which is huge.
Yeah, I think you're just going to see him play like that more often. You'll have fewer downs. I mean, he always points out, and the Patriots are coming to town. Tom Brady is, 40, 41 years old, something like that. He's been in the league 17 years, something like that. You know, Jameis Winston is 24. Yeah. And or 23,
I think,
and he's been in the league for two years plus a couple games.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't expect him to suddenly be as consistently awesome as Tom Brady, but he's on his way, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know if anybody you want to compare anybody to Tom Brady's career, but he's on his way to being a great quarterback, and he was a great quarterback on Sunday.
That is very true. And looking at the Buccaneers defense, they had just been decimated by injuries the week before, given up a lot, especially in the secondary. Did you feel like the rebound there was pretty good, especially considering we didn't have Levante and Kwon?
That's exactly why last week I wasn't the only one saying, but Coach was saying and some people were saying, don't put too much stock into one bad game. You watch that game and you might think, man, this defense, what's the problem? How are we gonna win any games? How are we gonna stop anybody? But sometimes a team plays poorly. Despite the fact that it's talented, that defense played very well all the last eight games of last season, played well in the season opener against Chicago, and had a bad week in Minnesota. And there were some missing players, but we had some missing players last night. Coach Cutter talked about after the Minnesota game that we got beat in every facet, including coaching, he said. That's not my words. He said that. And, there were problems with the way the secondary covered. Brent Grimes, talking to him in the locker room after the game, he said – He brought it up. Nobody asked him. He took his hat off to Mike Smith. He said he came up with a great game plan. We practiced it great. We had it down, and we fouled it to the tee, and that's why the defense was so much better. Now, the other reason is Brent Grimes himself being out there was a huge difference. He had a vintage Brent Grimes game. I mean, Odell Beckham had a couple plays. They weren't all on Brent Grimes, but he didn't score. He didn't get 100 yards. He didn't rip through the defense, and Brent Grimes personally – batted away several deep passes intended for him. So that game could have been really different without Brent.
Yeah, I think that people probably have a whole new appreciation for him after these last 2 weeks. Everybody knew he was good.
Yeah.
But it's sometimes you don't realize how good until someone's gone and then they come back and you're like, wow.
Yeah, it made a big difference. And, the one thing that was not improved, though, was the pass rush. And I personally think we have pieces to have a good pass rush, maybe not the best in the league, but it's not happening yet, and that's probably going to have to change for this team to get where it wants to get in the long run. I mean, I don't mean you're going to have to change personnel. They're just going to have to find a way to get to the quarterback.
Find something out, yeah. And then looking at the linebacker situation, not having Kwon and Levante, we don't know exactly when we're going to get those guys back. How did you feel about the linebacking core that was in there that was, something that – this is a group that didn't play together last year. I mean, this is a whole new unit out there. How did you feel?
I mean, I feel like, remember in training camp when every single day we were saying something great about Chris Godwin? It's like Kendall Beckwith. What more is there to say? Every single week you're just amazed by what this young player is doing. It's incredible.
It is.
He's playing the middle that incredibly important middle linebacker position. I think he looks really fantastic in the box. I mean, against run plays, he showed up all day yesterday. Now, I'm not sure yet how well-developed his cover skills are, but when we have all our linebackers back and Kendall's playing in there with Levante and Kwon, that's going to be a really good run defense at the very least. Now, you also got to give credit to Adarius Glanton, who has, he started for the Bucs at, I guess he was probably the strong side linebacker, but he was also the nickel linebacker, which we played most of the game in nickel. And then Devontae Bond, who played his first ever NFL game just last week, started on the weak side. Now, we didn't actually use that position a whole lot, so we didn't have a ton of snaps, but he had some. The Giants actually tried to run the ball a lot more than I thought they would, and our run defense was pretty good. Not awesome, but pretty good.
But pretty good. All right, we still have two more segments coming up. One is going to be getting to your Twitter questions, so keep sending those in. Again, we got the Giants game to talk about, the Patriots game, because this is our only live show before that game. So send all of us those questions, #BucksLive. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back to talk some Patriots.
Hey, hey, Tampa Bay, the Bucks know how to shine. Give a cheer for the Buccaneers. Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Hey, hey, Tampa Bay, The Bucks know how to shine.
Hey, hey, Tampa Bay, the Bucks know how to shine. Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Go Bucks!
Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Stand up.
Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Go Bucks!
Because we know we're on the top.
We stand up.
Welcome back to Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. We're still going to get to all of your Twitter questions next segment. Use that hashtag BucksLive. You got a lot of questions, I'm sure. Giants, Patriots, all of it, short week. This is the one show to send them all in for. All right, looking at the Patriots game, huge game for so many reasons. I mean, some of the fun non-football parts are the fact that it's Thursday night primetime game, color rush, Ring of Honor induction. You're going to have so many alumni back in the building. I mean, just all of that in itself. And then it's against the Patriots, which always gets everybody pretty fired up. This is a big deal. And to have on a short week, there's a lot on the plate there.
Yeah, it's definitely a game that I'm guessing a lot of fans and observers circled on the calendar when the season was starting. Now, you know, a team will always say they're focused on the very next opponent. So I'm not saying the Buccaneer players and coaches were looking forward to this game above any others. But I think the general public was, for many reasons you said, and because it's the Patriots. I mean, you don't want to give any one team too much credit, but who's a better measuring stick than the Patriots? They've been pretty much – I don't think they've had a losing season since 2000, maybe something like that. So that's a – you know, Jason Light has ties to the Patriots. I just think it's probably a game that would – in front of a national audience would mean a lot for the Bucs profile if they were to beat the Patriots. And you know, move to 3-1 too.
Right, yeah. I mean, we always talk about how – one game is one game. Doesn't matter who you play in a lot of ways, unless it's like a division game, that it is one game. But when you're someone like the Patriots that has been so consistently good over the years, you end up with a bullseye on your back, and a win against you tends to mean more to a lot of, at least fans. You know, it's hard to say if the team really feels that way. They'll always say it's just a game, but you never know. Maybe down and there it's going to mean even more. So looking at who the Patriots are this year, because obviously, unfortunately, you know, years past doesn't really mean a whole lot. They do look a little bit more vulnerable this season so far. Or are we going to
at least statistically?
In theory,
their defense has given up a lot of points, and you know, the strength of the way the Buccaneers are playing right now is their offense and all those weapons we were talking about. I mean, we did all that without DeSean Jackson basically, and that wasn't his fault. Just a little aside here. I hope nobody is down on DeSean because he was caught showing a little frustration on the sideline. Coach Cutter said after the game he should have been frustrated. It was fine for him to be frustrated because that was frustrating. Jameis had a fantastic game throwing the ball, yet every time he was thrown to DeSean, he was a little bit off. And it wasn't all just because of DeSean's speed. I mean, when you're doing a crossing around the back of the end zone, it's not because he's blazingly fast that you miss him. You just missed him.
Right.
You know, I know that frustrated him when he was open for the two-point conversion and the throw was a little bit behind him. I think there was like three or four balls behind him. The one deep shot was too far for him to get to, and it just – I'm sure that's frustrating for DeSean when he's playing well, but the ball is not finding him.
Right, that's very true. One of those other weapons that we will have at our disposal this Thursday is Doug Martin, which has got to make the team, fans, everybody very excited to see him back. I mean, I know the big question has been, what's he going to be like when he comes back? I mean, it's been a bit since he's gotten to really play football because of sitting, you know, the end of the preseason and then all of these games out and even delaying an extra week because of the Hurricane game. So it's been a while since Doug has seen live action football.
Yeah, and we're assuming, I think it's a pretty safe assumption, we're assuming he's going to be put back on the active roster today probably. That move hasn't been made yet, but it's probably a pretty strong assumption it will happen. The Buccaneers will have to release somebody else, too.
Which I think a lot of people might not have even remembered. They think of it as just he's been the roster the whole time, and he now just gets to come back. And that is always the sad part about these is that somebody else has to go.
But he hasn't had any contact with the team by rule in that entire time. And it actually ended up being 4 weeks instead of three because of Hurricane Irma. So, I mean, it was only three games, but he's been gone for a full month. From everything Coach Cutter said along the way, even dating back all the way to the offseason when this whole issue was being contemplated, I would be surprised if Doug jumps right in and gets 25 carries in his first game.
That would be tough.
Especially on a short week. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing he's eased in a little bit, so this might not be the full Doug Martin immersion game this Thursday.
Right.
But it's still going to be nice to have him.
And it might be great because when he does get a carry, he's not going to be...
Well, he'd be fresh.
Yeah, he'll be fresh, man. I mean, I'd be... You know, especially later in that game, that might be kind of nice when if he hasn't had as many carries and, you know, that could be an interesting idea. So what else as far as knowing what the Patriots' offense tends to be and is? I mean, they're missing a little bit in terms of what they've had with injuries and Julian Edelman and all of that. But looking at what they are offensively and what our defense has been doing in recent weeks, what would you say that's going to look like?
Well, I think the Patriots are what the Buccaneers are trying to be. And we were just talking about it, and the Buccaneers were successfully this on Sunday, having so many weapons that it's hard to know what to do. The Patriots have always been like that throughout this era of success. And you got to cover Rob Gronkowski. You got to cover Chris Hogan. You got to cover Danny Amendola. I think he's back. Mm-hmm. I mean, he might have been out for a little bit. They've got all the different types of running backs that they run at you. James White and Mike Gillisley and Rex Burkhead. And, you know, they've always been real good in two tight end sets as well. So it's just so many weapons to figure out. And then you've got the master of running that whole offense, Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. So we had a little bit there was a little talk heading into the Giants game about how Eli Manning was a tough task because he knows everything about that offense. He can run it himself. He gets to sort of direct the offense himself and make changes at the line. And you saw a little bit of that. But now you're facing Tom Brady. I mean, you can't really give him an inch, right?
Right.
So it's a tough challenge.
And when we looked at our schedule at the beginning of this year, first of all, it's always so interesting how we pick what we think is going to be hard or not about the schedule.
That's exactly right.
Things never end up going the way you think they're going to go. But looking at this stretch in the schedule, we always knew that the Giants-Patriots on a short week was going to be a tall order. The great news is the worst-case scenario right now is 2-2. And I think that if we had known at the beginning of the year, if you'd said through the first four games the Bucs will go 2-2, I think it's like you'd rather
be better.
You'd have
been mildly disappointed.
But it's okay. And the possibility of starting 3-1 in this stretch that a lot of people knew would be a really tough one, I think, is pretty great.
And then you get a little bit of a mini bye over the weekend and get to...
Closest thing we have to a bye, so we'll take it.
Hopefully, after that, you start getting guys. Now, we don't know the injury report yet, so we don't know if Levante and or Quan will get back this week. But hopefully, at least by the fifth game, you'd have one or two of those guys back.
Which would be huge.
Yeah.
Do you see this as being another game where Kendall Beckwith has to do a lot? If you know, we don't know if they're going to be back, but on a short week, it's usually less likely.
I think they'll just be happy if he continues to play the way he's playing. And he's been phenomenal against the run. I have not seen if he's – it doesn't seem like he's had any major breakdowns against the pass, so that's good. He's calling the plays and apparently getting that right. I don't – think you need anything more out of him than what he's given us, but he's done it so consistently that you can probably expect it.
Okay. All right. Well, we are still going to take your Twitter questions in the next segment. You got to continue sending those in using hashtag BucksLive. That's how we're going to be able to find them. And again, this is the final show before the Patriots game as well. So any Giants questions, Patriots questions, all of that, today is the day. We'll be back Friday with a show after the game. But anything before that game, this is it. So you send those in using that hashtag BucksLive. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
Nobody's gonna let another man walk in their house and take something from them. Don't take that to heart. This is personal to me.
Yeah. We call this the jungle. Yeah. It's our house today, man. That'd be great, man. That'd be great. Let's go. Get it in, man.
Be legendary today. Yeah. Don't forget, this is our house. Yeah. This is our house. Yeah.
Takes the snap, looks to his right, look, crossing route, ball, touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers! hit the backdrop. It's a Lavonte David quarterback sack, his second of the game.
Let's make it count. We're past the 50, okay?
Big Weston looking, Weston looking. James is going to run to the left of the 10. He throws to the inside. Touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Attack, technique, and takeaways. Got it?
It's picked off. Intercepted at the 30, to the 25, to the 20. Quan Alexander will take it to the house. Touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Welcome back to Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. Time to get to your questions. You can continue sending them in throughout this segment. Use that hashtag BucksLive. All right, our first one is from Doug. He said, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Alan Cross still practice squad eligible? He said, sorry if you answered this. I missed the first segment. It's all right, Doug. We didn't address it. So
why would that be important?
Well, I think he is guessing that potentially, like we were talking about someone having to get cut. That's my guess, is that he's saying Alan was one of the ones that was cut, would he still be able to go to the practice squad?
Yes.
Okay, he is still eligible. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's I feel like maybe reminding about the eligibility of practice squad is also good of who is and isn't qualified, of the rules for people who might not know.
Yeah, you can – I don't remember the exact cutoffs. It's a little bit easier now because you get two exemptions among your 10 spots that you can have a guy that's had up to 2 years, I believe, of accrued free agency credit. Usually by that point, they couldn't be on a practice squad anymore. But the other eight spots, I don't remember the exact cutoff for it.
Yeah, I think it's you can have 3 seasons of 3 games. That's when you're no longer eligible.
Okay.
So three.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was a rookie last year. So.
If you can be on the active roster all year, but if you don't play 3 games, it doesn't count as an accrued season towards it, I think is how I heard it. But that's I'm still very confused.
Have to look that up later.
Yes, which will be interesting. Okay, Todd wants to know, what's the status of Ryan Griffin's injury? When is he expected back, and will we carry 3 quarterbacks when he returns?
So that second part of that is a very good question. We don't really get daily updates on his injury, so can't tell you that.
Right.
But he has to be on the practice squad through the first eight – I mean, the injury reserve through the first 8 weeks before we could consider bringing him back.
Is that a game thing or a week thing now with this
hurricane?
I was
hoping you wouldn't ask me that.
I hadn't thought about that until
now. I think
it
might be games.
It's so interesting how many things this hurricane game has made us where we don't know.
But in any case, that's what it is. So potentially he might be fully healed by now,
right,
or maybe a couple weeks away, but he couldn't come back till after that 8th game, I'm going to guess here. I think considering you gave him that contract extension, if he's ready to come off injured reserve, I mean, you're showing you're interested in his future still, right? So he either has to stay on injured reserve or be released or put back on the active roster. And I would guess you would probably put him on the active roster. And I think that's what that person was guessing too when he asked if we'd keep 3. We have kept 3 quarterbacks for the past 2 years. I know Coach said earlier in the year he would prefer to go with 2, but you never know what's going to happen. This is kind of a unusual situation the way it happened, though, with Ryan looking pretty good in training camp in the preseason before he got hurt. So you had a good feeling about him, but then he really didn't get an opportunity to compete down to the wire for that job. So, but when he comes back, how ready is he to jump right in and be your number 2 if that's a role you envision for him? So I wouldn't find it surprising to carry three. But on the flip side of that, you and I, before we were on here, were realizing this was the day Doug Martin would come back to the roster, trying to just guess who might be. Somebody has to go, unfortunately. We're trying to guess. And it was hard to find guys that the team would be able to let go right now. There aren't that many. So you carry three quarterbacks, you're losing another spot somewhere.
Yep. Which, and it's a good problem to have because it means you don't have this real obvious weak spot on your roster that you want to keep everyone.
It just makes
it
more complicated, though.
Vaz, I think it's a, I love this, it's a Brazilian fan, which is very cool, says, seems like some of the zone or more off coverage has been a problem for a while. Do you think we should use more man-to-man cover?
Well, you know, that really comes down to in-game decisions by Mike Smith. But I think his defense is primarily zone, and I don't think you need to switch it up that much. It was a very big problem, yes, in Minnesota, but it was a lot better than this past game. So I trust Mike Smith to figure out when we need to be in man and when we need to be in zone.
Okay. Dentarius says, how many snaps do you see Doug Martin getting this Thursday?
Okay. Well, I kind of already guessed that he wouldn't be thrown back into it, right?
Right.
So 20, 25, something like that. Yeah. It's just a guess. But
yeah, that seems reasonable. And along those related lines, Philip said he will be fresh but rusty, and the Patriots might be feeling a bit of a short week. So who do you think gets the advantage there?
Between Martin and their defense?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if that's a good one-on-one comparison, Martin against their defense. We have so many weapons, as we were just talking about that. Any one of our offensive guys could have an advantage for that reason. But I think it's going to be an offensive game on both sides.
Right. Aaron said, is there a desperation feeling going on with the lack of pass rush? Gerald is getting double and triple teamed, and that obviously creates problems.
Gerald was wrecking things in the first half of that game, and he probably got a little worn out, but he made a bunch of plays. Some of them were on running plays, but he was getting such good penetration. But, yeah, I guarantee you there's not a feeling of desperation in the Bucs locker room. But I got to believe it's a concern.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's two games without a sack, one sack in three games. And I feel like the pressure was pretty good in the Chicago game, regardless of there only being one sack. But the last two games, it hasn't been good enough. To me, it's not – it's like if you judged our secondary based on that Minnesota game, you would think they're going to be terrible all year.
Right.
Or if you judge them on the first half of last season. But it didn't work out that way. Two games is where it's – yeah, it starts to become a three games starts to become a bit of a concern, but I'm not ready to panic yet. I know they're not. So let's just give it a little while to see how it plays out.
Okay. Charlie wants to know, it looked like on the O.J. Howard touchdown, they borrowed that play from the Alabama and Clemson game. It looks so strangely familiar.
I tweeted that during the game.
Yeah, so it almost...
It was a lot like that.
Do you ever wonder if... That is almost
like O.J. walked in, knocked on the door, and said, hey, I got this great play.
Right, yeah. Or if they saw them running it, like, it happened to be in our stadium, too. Like, oh, hey, if we draft
too.
Him.
Why don't we do that?
We should do that one.
Yes.
All right, I don't know if you know this stat. I know you love stats, but I don't know if you're prepared for this one. If not, we can maybe
throw
have you tweet it out later.
Okay.
Bucks have won six in a row at home. When was the last time this happened in franchise history, and what is our longest home win streak?
The longest home win streak is eight. It's happened twice over... In the 99-2000 range, and then in the 2000, it was twice around in that era. And then this is tied for the third longest streak. We've won six in a row four other times, I believe. So there you go.
There you go. Look at that. Ruben wanted to know, are the Bucks wearing Color Rush jerseys this Thursday, and what will they look like?
Yes. Is that one in the back of our room right there? Can you hold it up so we can look at? No?
Nope. Nope.
Nobody can know this yet? Secret proprietary information?
Well, they're red.
But they are red.
They are red. They are the color red.
We said it last year. I don't love all the Color Rush uniforms, but I think ours are pretty good.
Yes, and that's even, like, I think an unbiased view.
Yeah.
Like, I think I would like them really well, even if it wasn't the Bucks.
I actually like them better than our regular jerseys. I like them both, but those are cool.
The Color Rush ones. I'm a big fan,
too. If I were going to buy a jersey, I think I'd buy one.
I did that, and we'll be wearing it. I'm pretty excited about it.
To go with your Buccaneer shoes that you unveiled on
Exactly,
on
which I now have to wear every
week
since
they
won.
Yep.
All right, that's going to do it for us on Buccaneers Insider Live presented by Miller Lite. We're going to see you 75 minutes before kickoff on Thursday night. Hope to see as many of you as possible out there at Raymond James Stadium, and then we'll be back here for another Insider on Friday. Have a great rest of your week.